From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is the podcast of The Fischko Files. I'm Sarah Fischko. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of The Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Lecturers, musicologists, Mozart specialists, and even I agree that what Mozart was able to do was something that is at the heart of the creative impulse. He was able to juxtapose one miraculous musical thing placed against another in the most daring way. And because in this era we're a culture that knows a lot about juxtaposition, after all, we've spent so much time looking at movies, which are all about that, maybe we can appreciate it now more than ever. Michael Beckerman, who runs the music department at NYU and lectures on music, likes to use a seemingly simple piece to illustrate Mozart's gift for assembling styles into a whole that is more than the sum of its parts, the F major sonata, Kückel 332.
What you hear at the beginning is something like kind of a pastoral aria, and then something with a little Bachian cadence. That's followed by kind of a little children's march.
And then suddenly,
You're in Sturm und Drang territory. It's storm and stress, a dramatic piece. So you have breathtakingly, in the space of 32 measures or something, many, many different kinds of very commonplace material, and that's rather astonishing.
So, the music itself, lovely as it is, may not break any new ground, but the assembling of it, the editing, if you will, is quite new in Mozart's time. Maybe that's why when people talk about Mozart, they're not so caught up in the idea of any so-called innovations. Vivaldi came up with new concerto forms. Haydn more or less invented the string quartet as well as the modern symphony. Mozart? Well, Mozart took a more horizontal approach. He reached out to his audience with every form, style, and device possible, stitching them together with brilliance. Often that meant going not forward but back to older forms, almost telling a tale with the music.
A wonderful example of that is the E-flat concerto number 22.
Fred Feilaisen. He teaches a graduate seminar on Mozart at Manus College and lectures at the Juilliard School as well.
It seems as if Mozart is using thematic ideas to suggest that we're moving out of the hot, sweaty Viennese theater into a park. And then we come upon an ensemble of wind players, a little wind band. And they seem to be playing their own music. And Mozart takes us further and further afield, and he finally takes us right to these players, and we actually stop and listen to them play an adagio.
For the moment, we've forgotten where we are.
And then very, very, very carefully, he takes us back into the other music.
Which is very different from the thinking of Mozart's contemporaries.
They are trying to fill in a mold to get from the first note to the last note. He doesn't seem to be worried about that anymore.
Mozart is able to juxtapose and is fearless about it, so he can explore and digress musically and then put the results together.
Where can I take my listener next? I need to be able to take him on some kind of a journey.
Not only did Mozart line these things up to create tension, he also combined them in layers.
There's maybe a small metaphor to use it if one doesn't abuse it. Mozart as juggler. We have moments in the operas where you've got so many different kinds of emotional states coming together, and Mozart, almost like Shakespeare, seems to keep them in the air And maybe one of the most famous moments of a kind of metaphysical juggling is the last movement of the Jupiter Symphony, where you've got these fugal passages and the fugue keeps recycling. So you not only have a moment of virtuosity, but you've got the sense of all the balls are in the air. And I think if Mozart's an innovator, it's not because any of those balls are themselves particularly striking or new, but the fact that they're all in the air at the same time.
Even when Mozart is not juggling, even in his darkest pieces, he's putting things together in an arresting way.
One of my favorites is the slow movement of the A major concerto, that F sharp minor, Siciliano. The piano plays this beautiful song. And then the orchestra comes in with completely different material.
It was another technique of moving music through time in a way that engaged Mozart's audience.
So the question hovers as a challenge. How much of this do you need before you do some of that? How much of this do you do to create this effect rather than that effect? And it seems to me that whether it was intuitive or self-conscious, Mozart asked and answered that question in ways that seem especially attractive and memorable to us. A long time after he's gone.
And he did invent a few things, too.
He did invent what we know today as romantic German opera, when you think about it.
Inventions aside, Mozart juxtaposed to within an inch of his short life. The more we look at that aspect of his work, the more almost cinematically modern it would seem to be. An invention in itself. WNYC. I'm Sarah Fishkin. Thanks for listening to today's podcast of the Fishko Files from WNYC New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of the Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.